السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. نبی عبداللہ خباب ابن الارت رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ قال شکونا الى رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم وهو متوسد بردة له في ظل الكعبة، فقلنا الا تستنصر لنا الا تدعو لنا. الحمدللہ ذو فضل کرم احسان اف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی. We find ourselves once again on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. A mu'min dresses to follow sunnah. A mu'min doesn't dress to impress. You dress because it's a necessity. Allah Ta'ala has made it our duty to cover our satr and to be decent and modest. A mu'min dresses with that in mind. Anything over and above that would be regarded as israf, wastage. That's why this kuffar type of clothing, where they put cuffs and they put collars, it's a type of an israf, because you're using extra material at a place for nothing. There's no reason to use that material there. Extra so much material for what? Then you find today, people just want to see what's trending. So for example, even amongst the Arabs, now they wear a scarf, and they leave both the ends of the scarf hanging, and they read salah like that. In our madhab, is makruh for you to read namaz like that. But now people just wait. This both ends are dangling there. Then now currently there is the issue with Palestine. So now that becomes another way to make money now. Start selling all things associated to Palestine. So now people wear that. What they call it? They got a name for it. Same thing. In tasawuf, they say you get kafiyat. So here, I don't know, some word like that he is saying. So that thing also is just one piece of material. You put it over your neck and leave it hanging like this. Now what purpose does it serve? It's serving no purpose. It's all israf, all this thing. So we just want what's trending, what's... So this, we shouldn't be that way. Be simple, simple in our dressing, in our ways, the things that we use. Don't try to be outstanding. Don't try to be anoki. You know, anoki, unique. Now you learn from this hadith sharif. Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu ta'ala, he comes and he says that we, a group of us, few of us, we went to complain to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made his upper garment a pillow and he was lying down in the shade of the Baytullah, the Ka'batullah. So whichever side the sun was, on the other side you'll get some shade. So Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down there, but with what? No duvet, no mattress, no bed, absolutely nothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying down on the sand, and he took his garment and folded it a little bit and put it under his Mubarak head just to get some support, like a pillow, what we will call a pillow. The same garment he is wearing, he just wrapped it up a little bit, put it there, and he is laying down, taking some rest. Now for us to just take a rest, first we need curtains, close the windows, then we need fans, air conditioners, put it on because it's very hot. Then we need bed, now we're feeding the mattress. What kind of mattress this is? Sealy, Posturepedic, or what kind? Then we can now go and lie down. Imagine Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam lying down like that on the sand. There were no marble and all that at that time. On the sand, he's lying down. The same garment just wrapped it a little bit to give some support, and he got his Mubarak head there. This is the simplicity that Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind. Today is unfortunate that even people with ilm also, we left this simplicity one side. Being neat is a requirement. But there must be simplicity. Simplicity. Al-bazazatu min al-iman. Simplicity is part of iman. Iman flourishes in an environment of simplicity. Once we remove the simplicity and we want to bring all smart things and all that, iman can't flourish in that environment. So khair. So he says, we came and we complained. Now why were they complaining? They were complaining because they were being persecuted. So they're not complaining about the pain they have to endure. That they were prepared to endure for deen. But they're complaining because they are being stopped from practicing their deen. So they came and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you not going to now make dua to Allah ta'ala to help us? That this enemy must now be defeated. Our road will be open. We can worship Allah ta'ala, you know, without any restrictions. Are you not going to make dua for us? Make dua to Allah ta'ala. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them, قَدْ كَانَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ, that there were people before you, a person in before your time. What used to happen? يُؤْخَذُ الرَّجُلُ, a man was seized, a person of iman, a person who is trying to worship Allah ta'ala, he was seized. فَيُحْفَرُ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and a hole was dug. The person is trying to uphold the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The enemies of deen, of iman, they don't want him to uphold the deen of Allah. So he is seized. A hole is dug. He is put into this hole so he can't move. فَيُحْفَرُ لَهُ, the hole is dug, فِي الْأَرْضِ, فَيُجْعَلُ فِيهَا, and he is then put into this hole. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْمِنْشَارِ, then a saw was brought. A saw was brought. فَيُوضَعُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ, and the saw was placed on his head. Placed on his head. فَيُجْعَلُ نِصْفَيْنِ, and then he was made into two pieces, into halves. Now, you know, one is, you cut a person's neck. You cut a person's neck, you hit the jugular a few seconds and he's gone. You stab a person in the heart, he got few more seconds and he's gone. You take a sword and you put it through the person, through his spine. Through his spine, you sever the spinal cord. He feels nothing. He's paralyzed. And then he's dead. But you start to saw a person on his head. Can you imagine this? You start to saw a person on his head. And now you saw that person right down. You make him into two pieces, two halves. But this was part of the torture, the punishment. وَيُمْشَتُ بِأَمْشَاطِ الْحَدِيدِ مَا دُونَ لَحْمِهِ وَعَظْمِهِ, People used to be taken and steel combs, combs made of steel, like daggers. This was poked through the person's flesh until it reached his bone. And then they would tear the flesh off the bone. How you put a comb through your hair, the comb would be put through the person's flesh. It would be dug into his flesh till the bone, and then it would be pulled like that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining this, and he said, مَا يَسُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِي. But all this torture, whatever they did to these people, never stopped them from their deen. Never stopped them from their deen. Today our situation is, just to fit in with the crowd, we leave our deen. Just for a better life, we leave the sacrificing for deen. Just for fashion, we will put aside our deen. For one pretty face, we will put aside our deen. For a few coppers, we put aside our deen. What they went through, but مَا يَسُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. It never stopped the person from his deen. He remained firm. That you take my life, but you won't take my deen. Take my life, no problem. But my deen is more precious. You can have my life, not my deen. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallah, لَيُتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ حَتَّى يَسِيرَ الرَّاكِبُ مِنْ صَنْعَى إِلَى حَضْرَ مَوْتِ لَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَالذِّئْبُ عَلَى غَنَمِهِ. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause this deen, I'm just giving you an explanation, this deen will be high. Allah ta'ala will complete this deen. When there is deen, when there is shariat, when there is sunnat, then it goes without saying that there will be peace. There will be peace. So Allah ta'ala will complete this deen. And the effect of this will bring about so much of peace, so much of stability, that a person will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut. The Shura of Hadith, they explain that this is like 500 kilometers. Now 500 kilometers in those days, they used to travel plus minus 13 to 17 miles a day. That was the amount they would travel per day. So work out now, 500 kilometers is how many miles? And then work out if you're traveling between 13 and 17 miles a day, how many days journey that is. And you're not traveling on highways, you're traveling in the desert. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there will be so much of aman, so much of peace, nobody will be fighting with anybody, nobody will be torturing anybody, nobody will be wailing anybody, nobody will be stealing from anybody, nobody will be robbing anybody. That a person will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut 500 kilometers, and he will fear nothing besides Allah Ta'ala. The only fear he will have is a fear of Allah Ta'ala. I mustn't commit a guna. I mustn't commit a sin. And yes, he may fear that some wolf may attack my sheep. If he is, you know, driving his sheep or his goats or something, then he'll fear that, no, I'm just watch out for the wolves. They mustn't attack my sheep. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِنُونَ. But you are being hasty. You are being hasty. You want things to happen right now. You're being hasty. You want to see the nusrat of Allah ta'ala come right now. You want to see everything must happen right now. You're being hasty. Now, you know, the thing to ponder is who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning this to? What I told you, what's the sahabi's name? The sahabi, the narrator of this hadith, who said that we came and we complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shakawna ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wahuwa mutawassidun burdatan lahu fi dhillil Kaaba. What is the name of the sahabi? Burda. 15 minutes ago, I told the sahabi's name. What's the name of the sahabi? Yeah, never mind. Take a chance. Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat radiyallahu ta'ala and mashallah. You mustn't fright to give an answer. One day, at most you get it wrong. And if you get it wrong and you are corrected, you will remember it for life. One day, Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining, وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ. How the ayat goes after that? كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتُ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining that whole thing and he asked, what tree is this? Which tree is describing the mu'min? So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he was there. And in his heart, Allah Ta'ala put that it is a date palm. But because he was young, now he was shy to give the answer. So later on, when he mentioned to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, his father, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked which tree this is. And I knew the answer. The answer Allah put in my heart, but now I kept quiet. Umar radiallahu anhu told him, you know, it would have made me so happy if you gave that answer. If you gave that answer, it would have made me so happy. So Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu, who is this sahabi? Who is this sahabi? He is from those who accepted Islam in the very early days. Very, very early days in Makkah Mukarramah. Now generally we hear about what used to happen to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. But what used to happen to Sayyidina Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu, very few of us know. Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu used to be taken by the kuffar and he used to be made to lie on burning charcoal. His back used to burn. The fat of his body used to burn, used to melt. And that used to burn so much that it used to put the coals off. Later on in life, when people started accepting Islam and everything, and people saw the back of Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu, they couldn't believe what they're looking at. Then what happened to this person's back? Small namuna of this we have in our ulama-i Dioban. One of our seniors who was arrested by the British, they used to torture him. They used to take burning steel rods and burn his back. The smell of the burning human flesh used to be in the prison. But he made his khuddam, those who were with him in the prison, swear that they would not mention this to anybody. What was done to him, they must not mention it to anybody. So they didn't mention it to anybody. But the day he passed away, and now they had to give ghusl to him, and people saw that back. What happened to this back? Then now he had already passed away, now you could take out the secret. Then the people who were with him in the prison mentioned, this is what happened. This is how they used to torture him. So Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu, he used to be tortured like this. And after getting tortured like this, Bilal radiallahu an, Sumayya radiallahu anha, going through all that. Now a few of them come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ala tastansur lana, ala tad'u lana. And what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them, Walakinnakum tasta'jinoon. You're being hasty. You're being hasty. Where are they and where are we? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Give us tawfiq to understand why we're living. Why we're living. 90%, if not more, have forgotten why we're living. In the Amma Para, in Suratul Buruj, Allah Ta'ala speaks about how the believers of that time, inshallah we'll speak about it one of the days, but how they were burnt in trenches. Trenches were dug and how they were burnt alive. Thousands. Here in Palestine, over a period of 4 months, now they're reaching the figures of 20,000 and 25,000 and all that. They, in a matter of days, thousands of them were burnt alive. After mentioning all of this, Allah Ta'ala mentions the criteria. Those who remain on kufr, they don't make tawbah, they are losers. And those who bring iman, they do good deeds, they are the successful ones. That is the great success. That is what we're living for. Nothing else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that tawfiq. Today, you know, you have horses, you know, horses, Arab horses. So they say, no, me, I'm into endurance riding. I have a McLellan saddle. And I'm into endurance riding. 80 kilometers, 90 kilometers, 100 kilometers, I can do endurance riding. In horse riding, we got endurance. In everything, we got endurance. But in our deen, where's our endurance? When it comes to deen, what endurance do I have? We talk about the resilience of the people of Palestine. Where is my resilience? Where is my resilience? Little bit qurbani, little bit this, little bit that, and I'm falling down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us firm on our deen, keep us with strong iman, bless us with that endurance. Ask Allah ta'ala for afiyah. Ask Allah ta'ala for afiyah. Well-being. If you want a wife named Afia, that too you can ask Allah Pak for Afia. That too there's no problem. But Afia here, what we're talking about is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salullah al-Afia. Ask Allah ta'ala for well-being. But after that, whatever circumstances come, remain firm. Be pleased with the conditions that Allah ta'ala puts upon us. And remain with endurance, with istiqamat. Allah Ta'ala give me first tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.